No, like, it's hard for me to answer that question because if there's a game where he doesn't get off to a good start and it snowballs on him a little bit, will Russell Wilson being around make it worse because now he feels like he's got to press or make up for the mistake? Because if he doesn't, then there's a better chance he gets replaced. If Russell Wilson isn't around and he's having a bad game, that thought never even enters his mind, so he's freed up and he's more comfortable and he's more secure. So I think what I'm saying is there's arguments on both sides of this.
All right, next question. What would you want from the Dolphins?
What happened, Mulsey?
I don't know. Frog in my throat. Let's try that again. What would the Dolphins have to come to you with as far as compensation to make you go, ding, thank you, trade completed?
I would take the second round pick that you guys said you would take last week. Now,
that's what's very hard for me to glean.
1 week later, I'm like, yeah, if someone wants to trade me a pick, that especially the way Miami's going right now is looking like it might be in the 40s.
Yeah.
I am now willing to sacrifice my quarterback depth because I also think there's a chance it makes this team better because it brings out more in Fields. Okay. Now, third round pick, I'd still probably ultimately say no to it.
Yeah.
But I bring this up because, I mean, the whole world is saying that it's Justin Fields now. He's the quarterback, and it's going to take him screwing up for Russell Wilson to go back in. It's no longer doctor's thumbs up, go in there, Russell Wilson, play some good football. It's now going to take something bad happening with Justin Fields, and Miami knows that, mm-hmm. and Russell Wilson knows that. So I think you'd have two willing parties in a trade. You'd have Russell Wilson, who would be more open
takes
to it.
Takes two to tango, and they'd both have their dancing
and
shoes on.
And what were the other two names there from Schefter?
Dorian Zach Thompson Wilson Robinson and Zach Wilson.
Russell Wilson's Tom Brady compared to those two guys. If that's really what's potentially out there, Russell Wilson is by far the most attractive
If I were Mike McDaniel, though, and I had like ultra belief in my own system and my ability to take a quarterback and mold him, I would take Zach Wilson of those three. Like, I thought that I could get like a high end, like there was a huge bust potential here, but also boom potential. I'd say, give me Zach Wilson. Let me teach him my offense as fast as possible. And then the arm talent there becomes frightening. But I would agree with you about Russ. Last point. You know how many games Justin Fields has missed over the last two seasons?
Last year and this year, I'm going to say
last year and the year before.
Okay,
22 and 23.
I'm going to say he's missed.
I love watching him actually do the calculation, Donnie.
11? Like,
no, you're actually way undershooting. Last 2 years, 6 games. He played 15 games in 2022. He only played 13 last year. The first year of his career, he only played 12 and he started 10. My point is, though, missing 6 games over the last two seasons, I think, is a real durability issue. If your quarterback missed 3 games, if Mahomes was guaranteed to miss 3 games this year, that is significant for the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
And so, do I trust Justin Fields a lot more than I did 3 weeks ago? Absolutely. You'd be an idiot if you didn't. You'd be ignorant of what you saw yesterday and really the steady work he did in the first 2 games with the restrictor plate on. But I know Justin Fields plays a style that does expose him at times to getting hit. And I know while he is a big, strong dude, the guys hitting him are too. And his track record recently would suggest that if this season plays out like either of the last two, or really any season in his career, there's going to be a game or two that he doesn't play because he's dinged up.
So now are you saying that you want to keep Russell Wilson in bubble wrap and you're not even interested in what the other teams like Miami would offer for him?
I would be needing that same strong offer from Miami to actually materialize to start thinking about it. But the reason I would be more predisposed to trading him is I think Russ, if the opportunity arose and the Steelers said, no, we don't really want to do that, then I think Russ becomes a problem. Then I think the whole, like, Russell Wilson's got his PR machine behind the scenes.
And the Mike Florio stuff he talked about.
Yeah, and Russell Wilson is one guy in front of the cameras and potentially a very different guy in the locker room or behind closed doors with Tomlin. If you say, hey, Russ, we're keeping you on ice because we might need you. Might. You're not the starter anymore, but we might need you if our guy now gets hurt. You don't get to go play in Miami in that high-powered scheme. Then I think you have a very pissed off Russell Wilson, who has a no-trade clause he's ready to waive, wants to waive it, and you tell him no, then you're getting grousing, I think. then you're getting a problem in there.
Donnie, what's your take on this whole situation? Schefter saying the Dolphins should be calling the Steelers about Russell Wilson right now.
My thoughts are pretty much the same as last week when we had this discussion. It would need to be a very strong offer, and I know that he's not worth that, or should the Dolphins be offering like a first or second round pick? That doesn't sound like reality, but that's what the Steelers should hold out for, I think, in this spot. I mean, because you have Russell Wilson for basically nothing, so the financials are a non-issue for starters. He is a good safety net to have if something does happen to Justin Fields, who I think should be taking over as the starter. But unless you're able to rake the other team, in this case the Dolphins, over the coals in a trade like this, I would hold off. I mean, I would hold strong to a pretty early pick.
Quick point of order on that, as far as raking them over the coals. Usually, how do deals work? Both of you know this. You come in with what you want. Say they're really seriously talking. You come in with what you want. They come back with what they're willing to part with. Then you find ground in the middle. For example, they say, we'd give you a fourth. You say, hell no, we want a second. Presumably, you say, we settle on a third. Everyone comes away reasonably happy. They don't have a third. They have a second. But they do not have a third-round pick, Miami, in next year's draft.
I didn't... Oh, is that because they traded? What did they do to...
I just know
that?
They don't have a third because fake John and Robinson loves this stuff and immediately texted me and said they don't have a third.
He's got his whole chart at home.
But this is what he lives for this.
But they'll end up with one because they lost Wilkins in free agency and they lost Hunt, who signed a $100 million deal with the Panthers. So they'll end up with
one. So the compensatory system would all but guarantee them one?
Yes. But they don't have that. But my point is they don't have it right now. Exactly.
They don't have it now, and they would need it now.
But my point is that would make them potentially willing to trade the second round pick because they know they're getting
one. Yes, if they're getting a compensatory third, they would be then more willing to do
the second. They're all in on this year. They've made moves that have... The coach got a big contract extension. The wide receivers have all gotten paid. They gave Tua all that money. They've gone to the playoffs the last 2 years. The only way they'd flush this season down the toilet is if they really thought Tua was out and his career was over and they would be better off getting a top pick in next year's
draft. Who do they think, how long would they be like plotting for to have this quarterback, if it was Russ, play for them? Like, if you have Russell Wilson come in and play, what, 6 games? Do you have enough ground left at the end of the season if Tua comes back healthy to make it up?
I think Russell Wilson for 2024 would be like...
Or is your guy?
He'd be their version of what we have in Fields. Like, Fields in part got to play extra games because Russ really wasn't healthy, but they could afford to take it slower because the team was winning and Justin Fields wasn't playing bad. If Russell Wilson got traded to Miami and played well and they were winning games, you're invested long-term with Tua. Why would you rush him back? There'd be more incentive to say, Tua, just
cool out. You're still our guy.
We paid you a ton of money already. And Russ is doing this because he wants to get a big contract from somebody else next year. And he's better than Skylar Thompson and the jabroni who came in and played for them yesterday. Peter Boyle or whatever the hell the guy's name is.
I think that guy was like an old actor, hard-boiled actor. Wasn't he like the dad on Everybody Loves Raymond? Peter Boyle? Or am I thinking of somebody else?
I don't know.
Can you imagine Russ?
You're right. That is.
Can you imagine Russ, though? Dolphins country. Dolphins aquarium. Let's swim.
Here's Will on the fan. Hello, Will.
Hey, guys. Hey. I just wanted to make a few points on Fields and also one on Tomlin.
Would you trade Wilson, by the way, though? I want to get your thought on that, Will. If the Dolphins called and said, we'll trade you our second-round pick, would you do that?
I would. Yeah, I think the offer would have to be pretty dang good for me to do it. But I think I said... Anything better than a third, I think I would do it for. Even though having that, I was listening to the night talk last night with Pompeani and what Caboli said. I think it is valuable to have a backup, but I would for a second, definitely. But in terms of Fields, I know that the two throws that stick out yesterday are the throw to Calvin Austin for the touchdown and the throw to Freiermuth, but I think Molesy touched on that. The two that impressed me the most were the one where he rolled out to his left and hit Pickens on the sideline before the half. I mean, he's standing in there making his reads and things that you really didn't see a whole lot of in Chicago with him. And I think the other one was the 3rd and 14 throw to Calvin Austin too, down the seam, down the middle. Yep. I remember Romo dissecting that pretty well. And I think that those things, reading the defense, everything that I give credit to Tomlin and the staff. I think those are criticisms that we had last year and the year before about how we haven't really seen improvement from Pickett in terms of playing and you know, getting better, stacking off of games and stuff. And I think so far we've definitely seen that from the staff and the new staff that he's brought in.
I was going to say, well, I like the call. I think you're right to credit Arthur Smith. I do think like this is one of the areas where you would say having a real offensive coordinator helps. Just to back you up, what you're saying here in a certain calm that Fields has displayed, PFF had this out there, Fields versus the Blitz, and I know that 3rd and 14 played Austin, Derwin James was coming off the edge. 8 of 9, 119 yards, a touchdown, no turnover-worthy plays. They brought the Blitz. He basically shredded them.
Will, do you feel like they've found their franchise quarterback?
I think it's, for me, it's a little early to tell. I have also noticed one thing with him, that PFF has warranted him with zero turnover-worthy throws through three games, him and Rodgers. And I think that's one of the other things I tell myself when I watch him play, that there's not a throw that I watch and I go, oh my gosh, what is he doing?
Curiously, they don't have him with any big-time throws from that game yesterday, which I thought was unusual. But they must feel that that's really a credit to Smith. They must feel that Smith schemed him up stuff and he just executed, although I would call rolling left and hitting Pickens at the very least a big-time throw.
One of our listeners, Troy, just tweeted in another hypothetical Russell Wilson to the Dolphins trade. FanDuel put out a horrible one over the weekend. It was a 6th this year and a 7th next year, or maybe it was flipped. 7th this year, 6th next year. Come on now.
Who was doing that?
FanDuel did it. I said if Omar Khan accepted that trade, I'd fire him on the spot and
you
say,
need to go in there to the FanDuel folks and say, let me, Andrew Filippone, come up with your trade
So
props.
I think Troy might have been inspired by this one.
Okay.
He said, what if the Dolphins offered a 4th in 2025 and a 3rd in 2026? Would you do that?
The 3rd and 26, though, is like as valuable right now as a 4th this year. Because next year's rounds, you always kick back one round what they're actually worth. That's how I've always heard it described. So essentially, 2 4th round picks.
Nick Herbig was a 4th round pick.
Sure, so was Thaddeus Gibson.
Good comeback.
I mean, I think that's like, you're trying to go quantity over quality, obviously, there. And it's like, are you getting, with 2 fourths, is one of those guys going to become as useful in theory as a second would?
That strikes me, though, as a more realistic trade than the Dolphins offering up
their
basically
second round
scraps.
Pick. Oh.
Which would be the 6th and 7th.
And maybe more realistic than what could be a top 40 pick if it doesn't go well for them.
Next this gets year, back to the volunteers versus hostages thing, too.
Hold on. Now, let me actually try to answer this. You're right that part of it matters. I'm going to try to answer this like a serious person and say everything I've heard of for next year's class without like looking at it in depth says it's a much deeper class because all the COVID guys are now, right? Like you're not going to have people who stayed in school. They have to graduate. So there's going to be like, I think the thought is older but more polished products coming out. I want to say this year the draft class was thought to be somewhat thin, which is why maybe the Steelers took some injury risk guys like a Peyton Wilson, even like Fautanu, unfortunately, who did not have clean medicals.
Last year, Darnell Washington, too.
Right. Dude, did you see him again, man, in this game? He was on the Fields touchdown. He was just moving people.
I get frustrated that he is not going to develop as someone that is going to catch the ball in the open field, but he is an incredible blocker.
PFF did not like
him. He's the best blocking tight end in the league.
They didn't like his run blocking grade, but they loved his pass blocking. I thought he blocked well. There was some guy in Houston, Jonathan Grenard, said it was disrespectful that people tried to block him yesterday with a rookie tight end. If Darnell Washington as a rookie tight end was trying to square up, I would not call that disrespectful.
Donnie, would you take the 4th and 3rd?
I do like the idea of having multiple picks out of what will, I would say, more than likely be a rental for Miami, because you could try to flip both of those picks and either move up in one of those middle rounds or try to wheel and deal in some other way, shape, or form.
Man, I think this would be a fascinating conversation over there. Because
the wheel and deal I had not considered, Donnie.
The win now, we have a... Bill Belichick said something about this whole scenario. Let me find that. This is Belichick on the Steelers quarterback situation with McAfee.
Everybody's worried about the Pittsburgh quarterback situation. They might have the best one in the league. You know, you have an experienced guy coming behind Fields if you need him. They're playing well as a team. But again, a long way to go.
So it is a luxury to have Russell Wilson making so little money as your backup quarterback. I don't think he'll ever be a backup quarterback again. I think he'll either get a starting job next year, and if he can't, he'll just retire. So it is a very unlikely thing to have someone with his resume as your number two. Joe Flacco is like the only other guy in the NFL that you could categorize that way. But if you now feel even more strongly that there's no real scenario for him to be back next year, if you can get something that makes your overall team in the long run better.
So I'm looking at CBS Sports. They did like a quick breakdown of the 2025 draft class, like position group by position group. Not a good quarterback class. Fine. If you have Justin Fields, you don't care about that. Love it at wide receiver, at running back. They like it at tight end. They like it at O-line. They love it on edge rushers. They love it on defensive tackles. The defensive tackles, which we all agree they still need to shore up the interior of that defensive line, correct? Still need to do a little bit more there potentially to get ready for Cam Hayward eventually being
and
gone.
I think Ogunjobi's winding down. Yeah.
This is one of the better defensive tackle classes I have seen in years. Cornerbacks, another A-minus group. It's a draft class that looks at the very least flush at some of the most important positions out there. Boy, now you've got the old brain, the gears turning, man. What a show of faith it would be in Fields to actually do a deal like that.
I think my answer is still a no, but it's really close to a yes. Very close. Here is Chase in Elwood City. Hello, Chase.
Hi.
Hi.
I think we should be able to trade Russ, because I don't think Justin Fields is as injury prone on the Steelers as he would be on the Bears in like the last couple years. Because he was holding on to the ball too long, and he was running more on the Bears. Like, both of those leading to more injuries.
I think he's scrambling on a higher percentage of snaps this year than he was with the Bears. Something like 12% last year versus 16% this year. He's been taken off moving.
I like Chase's point, though, because I just don't – even though this offensive line has not been great, I think it's been fair or adequate, it doesn't seem like he's – putting himself in situations where he's
crushed. I get the thrust of the point there. I think where I would caution him is because he is a guy who will take off. It's the same thing I would think of as a Bills fan. Even though Allen, you see, get up like he's the Terminator every single time.
And they got Mitch Trubisky as their backup.
It only takes one time where Justin Fields takes off and runs and gets hit the wrong way for him to miss one or several games.
Ralph is next. Hello, Ralph.
Hey, I was thinking, if we were to trade Russell Wilson, what do you think about us? Because Ryan Tannehill is still out there as a free agent. Just trade him and replace him with Tannehill. What do you think about that?
I would do that in a heartbeat, but I think Tannehill will probably wait for a better situation. Although, to Ralph's point, if Fields got hurt and there was a chance to play, he'd want to play here.
He's got his guy, Arthur Smith. He's got a really good defense.
I like that point, too.
Callers, huh? Very good by the callers today. Very good.
You know what, though? I got to be like true to myself in the way I feel about this team. I right now think that they are much better than I gave them credit for before the season started. And as you've pointed out several times, the style of football is looking more and more like Steelers football in the NFL this year, which also I think gives them a better chance to win.
Yeah, you mean the league at large.
Yes, and I would not be able to live with myself if Justin Fields got hurt and they had to play a month without him, and it was Kyle Allen out there, and all I had to show for it was a fourth round pick in next year's draft and a third round pick in two years.
Sure. The wild card, though, is Russ if he's sitting on the, I'm not saying if he ended up getting to go in the game to replace Fields, he'd perk up right away. But man, for as long as he's just sitting there collecting dust and you don't need to go to him, dude, it becomes a very toxic brew.
It's 4:30. That means it's time for a Donnie Football debrief. Time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia. The debrief brought to you by Donnie's awesome friends at Steel Mill Saloon in Mount Washington, where they have this giant beer thing.
The Steel Tower.
Steel Tower. How
100
many?
Ounces.
We got to go up there and try it.
Only $18 for the rest of September.
We got to give that
about a week.
We
got to
give that a shot. I'm going to go and support my guys over at Mike's Beer Bar tomorrow before the Pirates game. I'm going to the game tomorrow with some buddies.
Congratulations on all your success.
Thank you.
His real friends, Donnie.
What do you mean?
Said some buddies. Didn't include me or Donnie in there.
I just feel like it's impossible to ever go out with you guys because Malzy has so many balls in the air constantly, and Donnie has a wedding every weekend.
I think Donnie's done on weddings, though. I think wedding season.
We had our main event this
past Saturday.
How many
weddings this year?
7 this year. We had 8 last year.
Too many weddings. Too many friends.
What was the, are you comfortable saying?
The best wedding of the bunch?
Were the gifts at all 15 the same amount?
Well, so the way that we do it, since it's normally pretty split down the middle, we don't even worry about the, like, hey, let's give this amount together and I'll pay her back or Sarah will pay me back, because they're normally pretty close to an even split. Like this year, I think 3 of them were my friends, 4 of them were her friends. So there may have been one where we like just went in on it together. But I mean, you're going to give more, I feel, when you are in the wedding than you would just being
a guest,
someone invited.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, the amount of money you invest when you're in the wedding, maybe you should give a little bit
less. Do you feel like you can strike the wedding picture pose almost automatically, i.e. you might have a beer in hand, arm around Sarah, like somebody says, hey, let's get a picture, and you just flip to that automatically. You know what side Sarah prefers to be photographed from. Alex has a side.
Yeah, we both have the same good side, but I obviously lose out on that argument every
right,
time.
Alex, I don't know if Alex has ever taken a picture like deliberately where she is standing to my right.
Was the consensus that DJs were better than bands, or did you like bands at weddings more than DJs?
I prefer the DJ.
Because then you can have all types of songs. You're not limited to one genre.
Yeah, you can
agree.
Request anything. You don't have to put anything like on the band's plate.
Best song somebody requested, like one that stuck out where you were like, I cannot believe some absolute legend put this bad boy in the mix.
Well, have I told you guys the song? Which I also like this when on the RSVP, they'll include the little thing like, hey, what song do you want us to play?
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have seen that.
You always put stuff by ABBA, you told us.
The song I go to every single time, Gimme, Gimme, Gimme by ABBA. That got to be a top 5 wedding song.
Really? I've never thought of it as one.
Neither have I.
I feel like wedding, like when it's time for the dancing to happen, that's always a go-to.
How about the cookie tables? Have they all been the same?
No, there's certainly some that outshine the others. But it's funny. There have been weddings this year where we're just like kind of the borderline like guest, and there's not too many other people there that we really know. Like there was one for one of Sarah's friends earlier in the year where even she didn't know a whole lot of people. Only a couple of her college friends were there, but the cookie table was elite.
I was at a wedding, I want to say 2 or 3 years ago, where there was a complaint lodged by a woman there, an older woman, who was livid that there was not a milk option with the cookie table. Like she wanted
a glass of milk?
Yeah. And I'm like, I didn't say this to her, but I thought to myself, lady, I've been coming to these types of weddings for almost 20 years now. I've never seen someone just sit down and start dunking cookies into milk.
Can you just imagine you're at a wedding, you've probably had like 5 or 6 beers by this point. You're sweating. The cookie table, you finally assault the cookie table. You've maybe had a shot of whiskey in celebration. ah, yes, the thing I want next is to go grab a few cookies and then quaff it all with an ice-cold glass of milk?
Also, among...
I would vomit right then and there.
Among all the different varieties of cookies that are out there, there's only two that I know that get dunked into milk. Oreos and chocolate chip cookies. That's it.
But I don't even think of dunking chocolate chips. I think of more like a nice cold glass of milk as a nice accompaniment. Mm-hmm. I'm not dunking a chocolate chip cookie in.
What's the one that people will dunk into coffee?
Biscotti.
Yeah.
Biscotti.
Okay. I think they had that this past weekend.
You just made me very nervous about the cookie table because I know Alex, her fellow nurse, asked me to make 5 dozen oatmeal raisin cookies because I am known as a bit of a master baker.
Yeah, congratulations how about that? On all your success, Malzie.
For a wedding, and I feel like I had to have them made by today, and Alex never reminded me. And I just sent her a text, when did I have to have those oatmeal cookies made?
I hope to God it's today. Shut up.
Shut up.
I hope you have to pull an all-nighter making dozens upon dozens of
it's 60 oatmeal raisin cookies I got to throw
down.
Malzie
shut tomorrow. Up.
You know what you should do? You should go to like a store and buy them out of the wrapper and make
people
it. Oh, yeah, I made these.
People would know.
Donnie, the debrief.
6 minutes later, what would you like to talk about?
The debrief, September 23, 2024. Pony, you mentioned that in one of your headlines earlier, Najee Harris leaving yesterday's game in a sling. Jaylen Warren had to get an MRI on his knee after the game. Cordarrelle Patterson, he might go into Indianapolis as the starting running back. I would normally be overly concerned about it. The guy looked like Jerome Bettis down the stretch
he
of the
did.
Game
And I
yesterday.
Didn't think he had a very good game up until then. He had illegal formation penalties. One of them negated a big play. And
he was the target on the INT that didn't really get his hand
right,
on the
I didn't
ball.
Understand that. I did not get that for the life of me.
I have to grade him on a slight curve in that those carries he got were against a team that was so tired they practically had their tongues out panting like dogs. But, man, he still showed some nice little natural instincts. I know Highsmith now, people are worried he's going to be out maybe an extended period. There's at least some concern. You know who? We've talked about Herbie. You know who I kind of want to see get in there and go as an outside backer? How about Leal? How about it's DeMarvin Leal time? Getting a little bit extra run. Herbig takes most of it, but maybe we go big boy ball.
Was Najee hurt on the last run? He didn't look like it.
It's a miracle he wasn't hurt on the play where he, again, tried to hurdle somebody for no reason.
If it wasn't a situation where if they were losing that game and I saw him do that, I would have fired off something like, stop friggin' doing that. When they're winning, I'm in a much better mood, and I tend to look the other way.
Here's why it
crap.
Was so bad. The guy finally did what I was worried, what I've been worried somebody's going to do, and grabbed his leg and basically pulled him down that way. How his groin just didn't rip off of his hip bone or his pelvis or whatever.
He's strong
is
enough to
me.
Just run people over.
Right. Stop. You're not no Sean Marino. Stop trying to be him.